Auburn has every opportunity to make a huge statement this weekend on the field and off the field and couldn't make it happen. Let's talk about it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
What's up? It's Live with C5. I'm your host, Charlie Five, a.k.a. Kyle Rush, whatever the hell you want to call me. At this point in time, it doesn't matter. We're about to get into this epic failure that was the Auburn versus Cal game. And I'm not going to hold anything back. I have been a pro everything Auburn. They call me master of the book. I am super positive, and it just sort of is what it is at this point in time. Auburn laid a massive egg. You didn't do any favors for yourself. If you're Hugh Freeze, you didn't do any favors for yourself this weekend for the narrative that Hugh Freeze allows a game to be lost every year that doesn't need to be lost. You did no favors for yourself. Okay. So we can blame the quarterback. We can blame this. We can blame that. But it all comes down to the fact that Auburn was not ready to play. Cal was ready to play. Cal had a really good game plan as far as keeping the ball away from Auburn's offense, which, hell, I didn't even think that they needed to. Honestly, I didn't feel like they needed to keep the ball away from them because of how poorly the offense played in general. But I felt like Cal had a really good game plan on offense. They had a really good game plan on defense. And overall, it just ended up being a very, very poor showing. So many opportunities lost. I mean, I can't even express into words how many opportunities you lost here coming off of last week where you score 73 points. Regardless of the opponent, you threw more touchdowns almost. You threw almost more touchdowns last week than you threw for a whole season the year prior. And then you go out and you do this. You put out this offensive product with all year to sort of prepare and circle this game. I mean, you didn't beat them last year very much. Like you lucked into beating them last year, and then you come home. You got them at a home game, whiteout. Everybody's fired up, ready to go, and it's really hard to even put into words what we just witnessed. As far as the offensive game plan goes, it's funny how a lot of people are giving me heck about it. Like I'm the one that was in the meetings this week. Like I'm the one that put the game plan together because I talked about how Auburn should have had the opportunity to dominate. I think my Wednesday show was about Auburn is set to dominate. Hey, you know what? They should have been. The roster is better. Auburn has a better roster than Cal. Almost across the board, except for it seems like the primary position where you have to be good, and maybe that's at quarterback. I am the most – it takes so much for me to give up on somebody. It takes so much for me to turn on a player. It takes so much for me to turn on a really anybody as far as like a starting position goes because I don't know much more than the coaches know. I don't know more than Hugh Freeze knows. I don't want to win more than Hugh Freeze does. I don't want to win more than Peyton Thorne does. But what we just saw was complete ineptitude. There is zero excuse. The excuses to me are out of the door, out the window. Like you don't have the ability to blame the offensive line anymore. You don't have the ability to blame the wide receivers anymore, especially when game day across the board is blowing you completely through the roof as far as potential upsets alerts, potential noisemakers in the SEC and in the country. there's just not a lot you can point to other than just poor preparation, maybe even poor roster assembling. It's just a rough look, man. And there's so many opportunities here. You had the momentum. I feel like Auburn, believe it or not, I mean, you can hate on me as much as you want to. Auburn last week, that was a big game last week that Auburn built a ton of momentum recruiting-wise from recruiting visits all leading up until this week. And then you had an opportunity on ESPN2 in front of the national audience, in front of another pretty good recruiting weekend to make a statement, and you laid a god-awful egg. I mean, it was god-awful. The offensive game plan was pretty much pathetic. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's pretty awful. And the sad thing is, I'm not sure there's a solution. I'm not sure there's a solution right away other than just completely changing the way you play offense. We're a backup quarterback away. I would love to think that we're just a backup quarterback away. Maybe if you put Hank in, it's different. Again, I think Freeze, who sees him every day, people say, oh, Peyton is his boy. Well, Hank is his boy too. I mean, Hank was his first high school quarterback he went in, so brought in. So it's not like there is a incentive other than the fact of the whole, I'm not going to spend $1 million on a quarterback in the portal. I'm going to ride with Peyton Thorne. Other than that narrative, there's really no incentive. There's really no incentive for Hugh to continue to ride with Peyton unless he feels like he gives him the best option to win. Now, after today, who knows what happens? After today, like, I'm sort of in the boat of, hey, you got to give it a shot. You got to give something a shot. Something's got to change because it was a lot of the same thing. When there's pressure, nothing's open. When there's pressure, we make mistakes. When there's pressure, we allow sacks. When there's pressure, we can't run the ball. And I don't know exactly where to put that blame. It feels like it's got to be, you can point at Hugh. You can point back at the head at the quarterback. It's tough because you don't really know exactly. You don't know 100% where to put the blame. I think ultimately it has to go to Hugh because this offense is 100% Hugh's. You can't rely back on the Phillip Montgomery stuff anymore. You can't rely back on any of the stuff from last year because this is your boat now. You're driving the ship now. So at the end of the day, that's where it's got to go back to Hugh, and then you got to make some tough decisions. The good thing is this is a pretty good week to make some of those tough decisions because you got another game that you should win, which Cal was a game you should win. You got another game you should win coming in, and, you know, maybe this is a week that you either, A, change some of your offensive philosophy or you make a complete personnel change. I'm so aggravated at the potential that this weekend had. This weekend had a ton of potential, and you kind of squashed it. Not only you squashed it, it'd be one thing if you lost sort of like a fist fight, you know, late in the game, you lose on a long field goal or something like that. It would have sucked because Auburn should have won this game by 21 points plus. There's no excuse not to. But the way you lost it, you were sort of you were completely outmanned. You were completely out game planned. It is what it is. You did no favors for yourself as far as the Auburn or not Auburn. Hugh Freeze loses a game he shouldn't lose every single year. This week did no favors for that. Okay, did zero favors for that. So let's move. All right, Auburn blows the opportunity. You got a bunch of recruits in town. The only silver lining, Deuce is in town. The only silver lining is, A, you could sell, hey, look, we got issues at quarterback. We don't feel confident in putting anybody over Peyton. The quarterback competition's wide open. Maybe you could sell that. And then Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois, which may be a worse loss. Believe it or not, Notre Dame may have had a worse loss than Auburn this week, with a more putrid offensive performance with a quarterback who a lot of you guys in the chat and a lot of people watching and everywhere wanted Auburn to spend the money to get, okay? A lot of people wanted Auburn to go out, have Hugh Freeze go out and spend the money to get Riley Leonard. And you saw the product that was put on the field today for Notre Dame. So maybe if you can try to find a silver lining, I totally understand. Brent Riley, there is no silver lining. I get it, man. I totally get it. There is no silver lining. It's tough, but if from a recruiting standpoint, your quarterback is the focus. He's between two schools. Unless Ole Miss were to pop into the picture, which again, I don't think at this point in time that's going to be on the docket because of some stuff that happened on Deuce's visit. Other than that, that's the two folks as he's between, and both of them had terrible losses, and Notre Dame may have an arguably worse loss than Auburn this weekend. So look, it's really, really tough. It's really, really tough to find words to sort of describe the opportunity that was squashed this weekend. I said I felt like Auburn would open as a 13.5-point favorite. The line kind of got to there. And then this morning, the strange thing, this morning, if you know about line movement at all, it takes a lot of money to move a line, a half a point, okay? This game opened at 10.5, went all the way up to Auburn 13.5. And this morning, it was all the way back down to 11, some places 10.5 points. So there was a ton of money on game day that came in on Cal to cover the spread. And typically that should throw up a red flag that says, hey, something is not, there's something we should watch here. And then it turned out that not only should you have put your money on Cal, you should have put it on the money line for Cal to win the game outright. It was just a very, very bad outing. I'm going to go through a couple more things and then we're going to get in the chat and we're going to talk about it. Hey, we're going to have a good old fashioned, just dive in and get after it. If you want to make sure your comment gets read, there's a ton already in there. Hit the super chat. I already saw one come in. I'm going to get to that one first, and we're going to roll through it. So if you want to make sure that your thoughts, your whatever you got to say is read, make sure you jump in the super chat and we'll get after it. Offensive performance again, pathetic. There's no adjectives to say other than pathetic. You had some opportunities early to continue drives to sort of sustain a little bit. And then you had a ball go off of Cam Coleman right in the face mask that turned into a interception that turned into a touchdown. One of the very few passes that Thorne threw on the money, right through your hands, into your face mask, up into the air, interception, touchdown. Cal takes the lead. Later in the game, you had a big third down. Rivaldo, once again, you throw it to Rivaldo on third down, regardless of where the placement was. It's in your hands. You're a tight end. You're 6'4", 240, 250 pounds, a wannabe draft pick, and you can't pull it in on third down multiple times. And then you had Peyton missing throws. You had him throwing bad interceptions. And then you had him getting hit while he's trying to throw the ball to get even like up to continue to add to the interception total, which was pretty incredible to throw. It's hard to throw four interceptions in a game, and Peyton pulled it off. So at times you felt like the running game kind of got going. Jarquez Hunter ripped off some big runs, and then you would have something stupid like some sort of penalty on offense, some sort of something that would just totally kill a drive. You had a hands to the face penalty in the first half that you ripped a dude's helmet off basically on a first down play that puts you completely killed your drive, puts you 15 yards back. And then on top of everything, their punter had an all-American night where he just continued to pin us down inside the 5-yard line. And then, it's just a complete pathetic offensive performance. That's what it says in the notes. Pathetic offensive performance. There's really no way around it. 286 yards of total offense against Cal at home is god awful. That is terrible. That is so incredibly bad that there's really not a lot you can say about it. That is just a poor game plan. It's poor execution. And you know, I feel bad. I feel bad for falling for a lot of the talk this week on practice, having people tell me, hey, we're not overlooking Cal. This has been a physical. This has been an intense practice. And maybe it is. I hope that it's not. I honestly, at this point in time, hope you're overlooking Cal. Because if you really tried hard and this happened, Auburn's in for a long season. I think Auburn's in for a long season anyway. There's going to be a ton of ups and downs. 8-9 wins looks like it's a that's 7.5 wins. And the over being plus odds, that's why Vegas is who they are. That's why the lines are what they are, because they can see some things. They see things that we don't see. So eight wins is a tough one now. Now you got to win two road games, basically. Now you got to win the rest of your home games, which will get you to 7. And then you got to knock – I'm sorry – you have 8 home games. You just lost one. So the max you can win is 7. That includes knocking off Oklahoma. That includes knocking off Texas A&M, which neither one of those are, I guess, maybe Oklahoma could be a tough game. Texas A&M is not necessarily a world beater, but you got to win all your home games, and then you got to win a road game. I know that Kentucky struggled today. I'm not sure what the final score is there. So maybe that's a winnable game. But, hey, now the 8 wins is a grind. Now the 8 wins is sort of, can we even get there? And so if you can't get to 8 wins, what kind of season can you really end up having? Like, again, there's so many things that can change. Now, look, we can, there's a few personnel things. There's a few scheme things that could change, and you never know what could happen. But this was a good barometer. Last year, it was a good barometer. This year, it's an even better barometer of how you can expect the season to play out. And gosh, it's really hard to find a positive. It's really hard to find a positive. The defense started off, I was very, very, like, early in the game, they were dinking and dunking exactly like I said it would happen. They were dinking and dunking, and then they would take some shots one-on-one. They would challenge our DBs one-on-one, which is kind of what I felt like would happen. They were going to dink and dunk us. All we had to have is a sack or a penalty or something. It would put them behind the chains. And then, you know, they wouldn't – that sort of stalls their drive because they did not have big playability. And that turned out to be the case, especially in the second half when you started to make big adjustments. And the only thing that screwed us in the second half is you just – you know, after the offense puts you in bad situation after bad situation, you let a big run bust on you, and you gave up a touchdown in the second half. But that was really it. I mean, the second half stats, Auburn, you know, their offense was really, really shut down basically in the second half. It was actually very, very impressive, the adjustments that the defense made, but the offense made as good as the adjustments the defense made, the offense made oppositely worse, no adjustments. So it's really hard. It's really hard to say. Daniel Denny, I totally agree. The defense played well in the second half. I mean, you had a stretch where Keldrick Fox said, I'm not losing this game. And he had 2 or 3 tackles for loss in a row, maybe two sacks in a row. How that guy didn't fumble the one sack where somebody for whatever reason left him wide open, left him unblocked, how he didn't fumble, I have no idea. He held on to the ball. It's rough. I thought the defense struggled at first and then made some really good, there's some positivity to glean from on the defense. Offense, I'm not so sure. I'm not really sure where you go. Maybe it's a scheme change. Maybe it's just personnel change. Maybe it's just Hank Brown. I don't know. I have a feeling like we're going to find that out this week. it's hard to imagine that Hugh knew the answer. It's hard to imagine that if the answer was Hank Brown, that Hugh had sat there knowing that answer and hasn't used it yet. And that's just kind of how I feel about that. And maybe I'll turn out to be way wrong. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, you got New Mexico next week. You got a chance to bounce back and sort of get some stuff underneath you, get some stuff going, get some momentum. But I tell you what, Arkansas, question mark. Arkansas, hey, they played really good today against Oklahoma State, had a chance to win the game. They're coming into Jordan-Hare, and Auburn sort of reeling, and they're sort of playing with nothing to lose. I mean, a lot of people think that the head coach, this is his last year, going to retire, or probably get fired anyway. So they got a little quarterback that can run around and make things happen. It's not a guarantee anymore. It's not like you can pencil that in as a win anymore. It's really, really tough. So overall, just completely deflated at how much of a it's so negative. The words are sort of leaving me. It's a complete and utter just disappointment. I mean, it's a complete failure, a complete blown opportunity. It's really, really tough. James Stallings, let's get in the chat. Let's go ahead and have some fun. Get in the chat. James Stallings, super chat. How does a quarterback not know his leading wide receiver is hurt? So I assume James is talking about the last interception. Auburn's down. You got 30 plus seconds, I think, to drive the length of the field, or maybe it was the series prior. I think it was the play that towards the end of the game, 30 seconds ish, drive the length of the field. I think Cam gets hurts his arm, and Thorne misses from the broadcast. I'm gonna be completely honest. I left the press box. I was coming home. I was listening to it, so I didn't get to see a lot of it. I was listening to it. It sounded like Robert Lewis was open. Thorne went to Peyton, went to Cam Coleman, and Cam Coleman was injured, couldn't really use one of his arms, and it was picked off. He couldn't really make a play on the ball. As far as how a quarterback doesn't know, when you're in that situation, I don't know that you take an injury report in the huddle. I don't know that you take an injury report before you go out and call the play. I kind of feel like that's on the coaching staff. And in that particular point in time, there's no timeouts, okay? So we didn't have any timeouts. So as a coach, you got to be able to, I guess, diagnose it that he's got to come out, call him to come out, or tell Peyton he's hurt. Like, I don't know that. There's so many criticisms that you can have of Peyton Thorne. I don't know that that's one of them. I'm not 1,000% sure not knowing that Cam Coleman is hurt when he's on the field with 30 seconds or so, under a minute left, and you're trying – no timeouts, and you're trying to make a play. I don't know that that's necessarily a criticism that I want to go to. But, I mean, again, you're the starting quarterback, so you got to be able to seeing things. But let's say he did diagnose he's hurt. What do you do? What do you do? Do you tell him to get out of the game? Do you call attention to it so now the other team knows that he's hurt, so he's not getting the ball? I don't know. That's a really tough one. I think there's a ton of stuff holding the ball too long, being inaccurate under pressure, not being able to, I guess, be tough when you got to make a big throw. There's so many things you could say. Again, Peyton Thorne's been playing football for 4 or 5 years now. There's so many things you could say. I'm not sure that one is one that I would put 100% on Peyton Thorne. I don't really know what you do in that situation. Again, there's no time. I mean, you got no time. You got a play clock running. You can't call a timeout. What do you do? And if you see 8 out there, you got to have some confidence that he can go up and make a play. I don't know. Again, maybe he should have known. I think there's so many other things that you could say to put blame on Peyton Thorne that's probably not one of them. GW, freshman play from a fifth-year senior is inexcusable. Hey, not a lot I can disagree with you there. It was bad. I mean, it was bad. There was times where you felt like a play I can think of in particular where, you know, you're scrambling and you're right there at the sticks. They did end up calling it a first down, but you're right there at the sticks and you run out of bounds, like right at the sticks. You don't make sure you get the first down. You kind of run out of sticks, and luckily they moved the chains. And there was multiple times. There was another time where Peyton – now, granted, if we're depending on Peyton to run the ball to win games, we are in a world of hurt. We're in a world of hurt. That is not an offense that's built for success. If it's built on Peyton's legs, you saw that last year. It's not built for success. But there was another time where Peyton had a rollout. He sort of broke contain, and he was going downfield, and I felt like, hey, just keep angling toward the sidelines. You're fast enough to beat this guy, you know, at least get closer to the first down. But he decided to cut inside of him, and then ended up, you know, with a third and long, and I'm pretty sure we didn't convert on that one. So freshman play from a fifth-year senior, I think it's hard to say that that's not a – accurate statement. It's hard at this point to say that that's not a fair statement, that it was very freshman like. And I am a pro. I'm the most anti backup quarterback celebratory guy that there is. I despise people where it's like the backup quarterback is the answer every single year, because that's Auburn. And it's so frustrating that people think the backup quarterback, that coaches watch these quarterbacks every single day, and they think that the backup quarterback, fans think the backup quarterback's the answer, and the head coach who gets paid millions of dollars can't see it. I'm the most anti that in maybe the world, possibly the globe, maybe the universe, any species, race, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm probably the most anti that, but it's getting to the point where – it's getting to the point where you can see whatever you want to in practice, but at some point, what happens when the lights are on, what happens at game time has to matter. And so far, what we've seen when the lights are on, when the game is on, it's not happening. It's not happening. It's sort of a repeated story, game in and game out. Can't handle the rush. Can't be accurate under pressure. Can't pick up a blitz. I was listening to Jake Crane on, you know, Zach doing his live show just minutes ago. Thorne struggling against a blitz. There are quarterbacks, a lot of quarterbacks, especially at that age, that play better against a blitz, because if there's a blitz, there's somebody coming out of coverage, and you should be able to identify it before the play starts. So again, that should tell you where I'm at right now. I'm the most pro coach decision on personnel guy that there is. I'll fight you to the end, okay? But it's getting to the point where it seems like there is a big time issue, and something's got to change, or else it's going to be a really long year. You're going to be battling for bowl eligibility. That's just kind of is what it is. It's the truth, and it's tough. Let's see. This is a good one to discuss. Let's see. It's Pick ESC. Can Freeze stop recruiting and start coaching now? You know the sad thing? The sad thing is he is coaching right now. He's running the offense. He's got 23-plus commits. There's not a lot of recruiting to be done right now. You host visits. You have hundreds of people. Not hundreds. You have multiple people that are under you that are doing a lot of the organizing as far as who comes in on visits, who you're targeting, who you need to call, and there's not that many right now to finish this class off. So to answer your question, can Freeze stop recruiting and start coaching? The bad thing is he is coaching right now. That's the tough part. That's the tough part. That's why this loss is so deflating, because he preached, I'm taking a step. I'm getting back into the coaching part of it. And the offense looked very, very similar that it did last year. So to answer your question, I think he has a little bit stopped recruiting, not because he's not serious about recruiting, but because, hell, you got 23 commits. You don't have a lot of space left. There's not a lot of dudes left to add to this class. It's all about coaching right now. You may have some 2026 guys that you're still working on, but my goodness, it's all about the season right now. And this is what you put on the field. It's just a very, very, very tough look. This is kind of what I was talking about early. Johnny Barner. Okay. First off, love the name, Johnny Barner. I'm a big barn. I love the term barn, obviously. I'm not listening to any more hype until Auburn proves it. Okay, Johnny, so you're just not going to listen to podcasts, I guess. It's not my fault. It's not. I didn't call the game. Okay, I didn't call the game. I watched Auburn score 73 points, break essentially throw more touchdowns than they did for a whole last season in one game. I'm sorry that I felt like Auburn's roster was better than Cal at literally every position. Maybe I'm just a terrible scout of talent. Maybe that's the case. If it's just you're not going to listen to any more hype. It's not necessarily even hype at this point. It's just you're talking about Auburn, and you had a good game, and you felt like Auburn is in a position with all of the chips on the table, a chance to really put their foot on the throat, really make a statement for the season. And you had all sort of everything moving in the right direction, and they've just failed. We're just wrong. I'm sorry, man. If you're listening right now, I hope you understand. I hope you're listening to my tone now and how upset I am about how the game played out. But the hype didn't cause this. The hype didn't cause one single thing of this. Okay? Me saying Auburn should cover had nothing to do with Auburn getting embarrassed at home versus Cal. So we can continue this game. People, you can tag me on Twitter. You can do whatever you want. So we can play this game, but this didn't have anything to do with what you saw on the field. And if you just want to not buy into the hype, that's fine. That's fine. I guess you just won't listen to anything Auburn, because if you want to, nobody's going to make a living off of just bashing Auburn on a podcast 24/7. I try to be honest. I honestly felt like Auburn had a chance to really make a statement this week. They didn't do it. And now I'm being completely honest about what I just witnessed. And I'm not going to change how I feel about what I just witnessed. So, again, all the stuff you listen to, whether it's Mike G, whoever on the War Report, who is also very pro-Auburn moving into this, it's not our fault. We don't have a thing to do about meetings or anything that goes along with getting this team ready to play a game. So I'm sorry if I upset you for being positive about Auburn, but it's not going to. Nothing about what we talked about this week changed what happened on the field today. Let's keep going. Alex Drake Brooks Space YouTube. What a great name. Alex Drake Brooks, YouTube. Peyton threw 5 picks. That's what happened. LOL. Welcome to life as an Auburn fan. I bet he starts next week. The LOL in there killed me. He threw 5 interceptions. Luckily, one got called back. I feel like Auburn kind of got a makeup call on that one. It was a tough outing. Tough outing. There's not a ton you can say. There's not a ton of positives you can really throw out there. You can't really blame anybody but Peyton. Peyton just had a really bad game. It was really bad. It was tough to watch. Let's keep going through. Let's see. Chris Nicholas. Thorne has to be benched. It's hard to find an argument otherwise at this point in time. Other than, does Hugh think what he has in the cupboard, does he have behind him, can be any better, or could it be worse? I know a ton of people say I despise the statement. It can't get any worse, but maybe at this point it can't. Maybe at this point it can't. I thought Thorne early on was pretty decent. I thought, again, the pass that was deflected off Cam Coleman should have been caught. The third down throw to Rivaldo early in the game should have been caught. Those were both drive killers. But after that, he completely melted down. Some of it was on offensive line pressure. Some of it was maybe there wasn't a ton of people open, but my goodness, man, you got to make something happen. Like, we got to make something happen. You're down at home two touchdowns and you're not doing a ton to really good quarterbacks can dig you out of a hole. Good quarterbacks can make some stuff happen. And it doesn't feel like that's the case that doesn't feel like at this point in time, after however many games you played last year, plus the first two this year, that it doesn't feel like you're going to win games because of Peyton Thorne. It feels like almost you're going to win games in spite at this point in time. And maybe it's in spite of the quarterback room as a whole. I don't know the answer to that. Maybe benching him. Maybe it's just Hank. Maybe Hank's the missing piece. It's hard to say he's not. That's a little bit hard to believe. That's almost as bad as my man Johnny Barner, or whatever the heck his name was, talking about buying into the hype. But at the same time, it's hard to imagine a worse game that a quarterback could have played than what we saw today. That was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. And that says a lot coming from me, who I'll defend typically whatever the coach puts out there, I'll defend, to the end. So it's really, really tough. Let's see. Let's keep going through here. Let's see. With the way they were blitzing, we should have run some wide receiver screen, slants, or reverse. The game plan, all in all, you got, even if you have issues on the offensive line, you got to be able to scheme away from it. And it sort of felt like there was no answer regardless. It felt like there was really no answer. There was no real way to scheme away from it. Because even if you got a little bit of pressure, if you dial up the right play, then he wasn't going to be able to see it regardless. So with the way they were blitzing, we should have run some, maybe some more wide receiver screens, maybe some more stuff to slow it down. I'm going to be honest, I didn't really feel like they were blitzing that much. I kind of felt like they were just getting a lot of pressure with their ends. They were kind of just getting a lot of pressure with their front four. And Peyton couldn't handle it. It's pretty much that simple. Let's keep going. That's a really good one. Let's keep going. Yeah. I mean, Blake Hunter, I feel you. Zero excuse for Hugh Freeze continuing to run Thorne onto that field. Even if he were to become a real quarterback, it does not help the future. The only slight thing, first of all, I agree with the sentiment in general, okay? It's tough to watch a guy continue to be rolled out there. It's tough to see a guy continue to be rolled out there that's not struggling. He's not seeing it, having a rough game. The second part, it doesn't help the future, okay? There's a tons of senior quarterbacks out there that you kind of lean on to have good years, okay? So it's not like if you play a senior quarterback, even if he struggles in a game, that you don't care about the future. I'll throw something else out there. I'm not 1,000% sure that the future is on the roster yet. So if you say you don't care about the future just because you continue to play a senior quarterback, it's hard for me to – I guess if you're not 1,000% confident in what's behind him, how do you care about the future if you put his backups in and you don't have any faith in them either? Regardless, I'm in agreement that Thorne had a really bad game. I'm in agreement that something's got to change, whether that be the philosophy or personnel. But I don't buy into – if you play a senior quarterback, you don't care about the future. Hey, wins matter. Wins matter for the future. Wins are big for the future. Wins are big for recruiting. Wins are big for the future. So unless you're under the assumption that there's no way that you can get more wins under Peyton Thorne, I don't necessarily think that if you just play a senior guy, you don't help the future. We can agree to disagree on that one. Stage, time for Hank. Hard to argue. Hank's at least will the argument that Thorne had, the safety that Thorne had was, hey, Hank gets the ball out too early, or he's not afraid to pull the trigger, but he gets himself into trouble. He throws interceptions, which he did in, I think, in a couple of scrimmages this fall. Well, hell, Thorne just threw four interceptions and should have thrown five and got one called back. So, like, you don't have the protect the ball. You don't have the protect the ball excuse there. So it's really hard. So is it time for Hank? Maybe. It's hard to say. But it's whatever we saw. It's really tough. It's really tough to see. It's really tough to watch. Let's go to this one. AWKAU, no preparation whatsoever. Bad offensive line, bad secondary play. This one's tough for me because unless I was just completely lied to, I mean, it felt like they had a really good week of practice. It felt like they had a very they were not necessarily overlooking Cal, but maybe the game plan was rough. The secondary was rough to start with, which we knew the secondary, if there was a question mark on this team, it would be the secondary. They struggled in the first half. But they made some adjustments, and the defense was not the issue. The defense was not the issue. It was the offensive line. It was the offense that was the issue. Offensive line, wide receivers at times, and obviously you got to point back to the quarterback as well. So do I think they prepared hard? Yeah. But do I think they – was it either a terrible game plan or you just weren't – I don't know. You weren't fired. I really don't know. It's really hard to put a finger on it. Let's keep going. Chris Nichols, need to start going live on the QB in practice so you can see who is going to be on the field. I think what he's saying is you need to go live in practice so that you can see what a quarterback looks like when they're actually getting live round shot at them. So you can see maybe head off some of the Peyton Thorne big eyes, you know, there's a rush coming before you actually get there. Maybe that's the answer. You can't do that in today's game. It's just too costly to have an injury in a practice that doesn't matter. It's one thing to lose a guy in a game, but losing a guy in practice, you see so many teams just get completely gutted by injuries. I think more live rounds, maybe preseason, and in order to be able to do that, you got to have a lot of talent so that you don't. It's not a world destruction. A season-ending deal when you lose a quarterback. I get it. I get the sentiment. I'm not sure if it's the answer, but what could hurt at this point in time? Let's keep going. Hey, Brent Riley, please hold Hugh accountable for lack of on-field success. Brent, I'm with you, bro. I'm with you. I've been a Hugh Freeze guy, I've said Hugh Freeze is my dream coach at Auburn. And I still believe that. I still believe that Hugh is the best mix, the best person to get everyone aligned and moving in the right direction. But my gracious, man, at some point in time, you got to start winning the games you're supposed to win, man. If we want to get to the point where we knock off somebody big, let's win the games you're supposed to win first. Okay? Let's let that be step one. Step one, win the games you're supposed to win. Okay? Step two, then let's try to knock off a big guy. Okay? But first, you got to win the games you're supposed to win. I mean, you've got in the last, four games? No, the last five games, you've got a blowout loss to New Mexico State. You've got a blowout loss to Maryland, which I understand it's a bowl game. Several people sat out, whatever. Congratulations, Keontae Scott, on getting a raise, whatever. And then you've got a blowout loss. Not a blowout loss, but it was an embarrassing loss against Cal. That's three losses in five games that you had no business ever losing. So, yeah, Brent, I get it. We need to start seeing some on-the-field stuff. Let's win the games we're supposed to win. Let's win the six that you have no business losing, okay? And then we're going to try to pick off two or three other. That's how you build a program. You can't lose this game. You cannot lose this game. it's inexcusable to lose this game. This game, again, it's game two of the year, but there's so many things that this derails, could possibly derail by losing this game. It's tough. I'm only going to take a couple more because, again, it seems like it's just negative after negative, and I know that gets kind of exhausting. But let's keep going, and let's see here. I like this one. Harlam 357. We took a deuce and lost a deuce. We dropped the deuce on this game and we lost a deuce. Well, I'll say this. The other team that is vying for deuce may have had a worse loss. Could have possibly had a worse loss. So deuce is sort of in no man's land right now. Deuce, I feel bad for Deuce. Deuce has got to pick between an Auburn team that just lost to Cal at home or a Notre Dame team that just lost to Northern Illinois. So that's a tough one. Let's keep going. Grant Curitan, our O-line is trash as well. You know, I thought they played well at times. You got to pick a left tackle. You can't keep, you know, Percy Lewis ain't it. You know, Percy Lewis has got to be a backup at best. And then when Xavier Miller got hurt, which is in a stretch where you really needed to make some stuff happen, all you had was Ronan Chambers, your transfer from Akron, and he just couldn't make it. He's just not an SEC player. So he is a backup at best. So the right tackle and Xavier Miller's not going to get any healthier. Like, he's dinged up. So that's got to be something you either got to scheme away from or you got to find another sort of rotation. Wouldn't be shocked to see Dylan Wade be put in the mix as far as like getting some reps at tackle, whether it be right tackle or left tackle, that it will allow Tyler Johnson to be moved out to right tackle if Xavier Miller is hurt long term. So the offensive line was really bad. Early on, they didn't get a lot of push in the run game. Felt like they kind of got their feet under them and started getting some push a little bit. But when the game was sort of tight and they were starting to pull away and you needed to have some drives, pass rush got us. Pass rush ate us up. And then Peyton Thorne wasn't going to see it. If there was any kind of rush whatsoever, Peyton was not going to be able to see it. Let's see here. Let's keep going. And let's go back to Brent. I'm going to take two more after this. Again, if you want to make sure you get something in, hit the super chat. Brent's got a lot in because he's got a lot of questions. Weirdly poor start to the year for Rivaldo. There is no one on this planet. There's no one that's ever been alive, maybe other than Rivaldo's mother, that loves him more than me. Okay? There's no one on this planet that adores Rivaldo more than me outside of maybe his immediate family. He has had a putrid start to the year. It's borderline pathetic in every aspect, from the blocking aspect, from the pass catching aspect. Like, this is a guy who you thought maybe could have gone pro last year, and it's been an absolute putrid start to the year. So something's got to change there because you got to have him, or else, I mean, there's not a ton behind him. Rico Walker, I guess, is where you go as far as like big time passing tight end threat that can stretch the field. Very, very shocked. I mean, you got three drops through two games that could have been monumental as far as drive extending plays. It's just really, 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 really tough. Let's get two more and we're going to call it a night. Man, there's a ton of stuff, and I'm sorry. I could be on here for 2 hours if I could get all of them in. Let's go here. Let's scroll up just a little bit. This one's a long one, so let's read it. JD, I honestly thought Thorne with weapons would be solid. Now we know, and too bad we had to find out like this. Silver lining is it's week two, and we have plenty of time to swap him for Big Bank Hank. JD, I'm right there with you, man. I'm right there with you. I thought that a change of scheme, a change of receivers, a change of offensive line, and overall that would help. There were so many things about last season that were broken. It was hard for me to put all the blame on Thorne. But right now it's hard. It's hard with this body of work not to put the blame on him. And again, I'm the biggest starting quarterback defender. I don't want to be a I'm not a thorn defender. I'm gonna ride with a starting quarterback until the coach makes the change. And maybe Hank's the guy. I know the players have a lot of faith in him. I had breakfast with Malcolm Simmons, not with him directly, but I had breakfast right there with Malcolm Simmons on Friday morning, and he heard him straight up say, Hank's the best quarterback as far as placement goes in practice that I've ever played with. Like, that there's nobody that puts the ball in the spot better than Hank. I just feel like he's maybe a little too young. Like, I mean, that was straight out of his mouth. So there's some things about Hank to love. He's not scared. He's a little bit fearless. At this point in time, it's hard for me to argue against putting him in and giving him a shot. And next week, maybe it may have been a good opportunity for him to get that shot. But let's see here. Let's try to find some positivity. Look, I'm done with the questions for tonight. Unless you get a super chat in, we're going close to an hour. It's been pretty rough. I've been banged on a little bit for being too positive. I hope you see that. I'm going to tell you like it is. I'm going to tell you what I think. And this performance was putrid. This was a bad deal. And we're going to break it down. We're going to break down the recruiting aspect of it, the impact of it tomorrow night. I'm going to make a lot of calls. I'm going to get on the phone and see how a lot of the visits went, where we go here, where we go as far as recruiting moving forward. And we're going to talk. That'll be the theme of, the live chat tomorrow night. So, guys, I really appreciate you jumping in. I'm sorry it was not good news. I'm sad. I'm broken. But we're not going to give up. We're going to try to find a little bit of bug to keep going for the rest of the season. I really appreciate you guys hanging in there with me. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope this becomes a really fun thing after games, and it's not just us, bitching and moaning about a loss. I apologize for my language. But, guys, I appreciate you. Thank you for the comments. I thank you for hanging out, and we're going to get after it again tomorrow. We're going to dive in, talk about the recruiting aspect, and we're going to have a whole week talking about this, breaking it down, lamenting. But hey, you got to move forward. You got to move forward to New Mexico State. If you want to jump in, thebarnauburn.com, $1 for the first month. You can get a lot of the inside info way before we talk about it on these podcasts. And it's only $9.95 after that. A lot of conversation. We had a game thread that went over like 20 pages. The game threads are electric. The recruiting threads are electric. It's a lot of fun. So I think you need to check it out. I think you won't be disappointed. Hey, and you can try anything for $1. I appreciate you guys listening. We'll be back again tomorrow evening for Live with C5. Talk a little bit of recruiting. And otherwise, y'all have a great rest of the weekend. And stay bud.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.